The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Inflation is still high, despite the fact that Joe Biden has solved the problem of inflation. Both things can be true at once.
My focus is just stay focused.
That's my focus, too, when I really think about it. We're going to talk more about Joe Biden in just a minute here, because he let the cat out of the bag in a really weird way last night. And remember, how he told us he had to get to California. It was very important that he get there. He's a very busy man. He actually got up before 9 a.m. to tell us that he could only talk for 5 minutes about the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history because he had to go to California. So we're going to talk about what he was doing in California. I also have some interesting updates for you. You know what I want to get to today? The giant seaweed blob that's heading towards Florida. Not something I typically go for in the news, but I'm trying to mix it up. I'm trying to keep it fresh.
Is that a nickname for DeSantis now from the liberal left?
No, this is an actual giant blob of seaweed that is twice the width of the U.S. Twice the width of the U.S. And it's floating toward Florida, specifically toward the Keys. Plus, more news from New York, and just a lot of great stories to get to. Plus, we got Toby joining us in the 2 o'clock. But sometimes you get a story and you just can't pass up on it. It's too good. And that is the story of SVB's board of directors. Obama official, Hillary donors, improv actor, meet SVB's board of directors. Now, I'm going to skip down here because I want to get to the bios. And if at any point any of these people ring a bell to you or you want to comment on this, the lines are always open. It's 844-500-4242. So it talks about how this board is made up of people who don't really know that much about banking, and how when we finally get to looking at SVB and what went wrong, that could be something that maybe angry Americans pounce, seize, and weaponize on. It has all of the markings of something that we would pounce, seize, and weaponize on. So the group's lack of banking expertise is likely to be a focus for investigators. Just one current member, King, has had a career at the top of the investment banking world. What is clear is that the bank, and much of the board, burnished their Democratic credentials as part of their strategy. So let's start with Kate Mitchell, okay? Director Kate Mitchell, 64, is a Hillary Clinton mega donor who was so upset by Donald Trump's 2016 victory that she went to a shrine in Japan that Thanksgiving. And she told people about it. That's always the part that gets me. It's not the going, you know? It's not the going to Japan to pray at the shrine. Because what you choose to do in your own time, how you let elections affect you. You know, I've had nights before where an election doesn't go my way and you can feel bummed out and maybe you can feel a little down. That's not the part of it that gets me. The part of it that always gets me is the sharing of these experiences. The proudly telling people, I cried for days. I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, I didn't go to work, I needed a safe space. I went to a shrine in Japan. You can keep those things to yourself. But she actually told CNBC, I prayed for me and us to get beyond our grieving and shock and to figure out how to engage and listen to what happened and come back together. If she wanted to find out what really happened, she could have read one of Howie's books. I think a lot of us knew what happened. How to engage and listen to what happened and come back together. The prayers came after she had donated $50,000 to the Hillary Victory Fund. Well, now this is starting to add up. This, you know, I wouldn't suggest though flying to Japan. Now you're just adding, you're just more in the red. You're already 50 grand in the red with this loss, and now you're taking an expensive trip to Japan? Is money no object here, Ms. Mitchell? Prior to the election, Mitchell celebrated how 97% of technology company employees' donations were going to Hillary Clinton. 97% support of Clinton is mind-blowing and really suggests that we are pounding the table, she told NBC News. We think her business policies are going to be friendlier. Sure. Yeah. Well, maybe to people who donate $50,000 to her campaign, she might be a little bit friendlier. The San Francisco resident also prides herself on championing diversity, co-founding Venture Forward, which focuses on advancing opportunities for women and underrepresented minorities in the venture ecosystem. It also says Mitchell advises the Rock Center for Corporate Governance at Stanford Law School. You think she knows SBF's parents? Maybe they could all get together. Maybe they could all go visit the shrine in Japan. Field trip alert. We could do a little carpool, plane pool, get thee to Japan, have a little shrine meeting. They have a lot to talk about. Stanford's really churning out some of the best. Okay, now next up. Learned how to be a boss from doing improv. I think this one actually, sneaky, might be my favorite because the first woman you think, that's hard to beat. You know, $50,000 to Hillary Clinton's campaign. She's crying about it in Japan at a shrine. That's the number one right now. But this woman, don't let her go under the radar. Board member Elizabeth Busy Burr splits executive success. She's now the CEO of Rite Aid with a rare hobby, improv theater. 61-year-old credits being in an improv troupe for taking her to the top. Now, I will say this, someone with a theater background. I understand why you could credit theater for a lot of things. Even in the business world, you got to stay on your toes. You got to be willing to, you know, sometimes be out on a limb, be embarrassed. So that's great that she thinks improv helped her out. This is where I really get a laugh, though, okay? Her woke credentials are not in doubt, thank God. In the same interview, she detailed how she saw her role as director as being about forcing companies to embrace diversity. That sounds nice, forcing companies to embrace diversity. Here's the quote that really made me laugh. She said, "It's not enough to just report the numbers. Instead, we need to demand a deep look at company culture. What are the informal networks and behaviors that support the status quo?" Looking back in hindsight, I would tell Busy that if she had kept a little bit more busy with looking at the numbers, that actually might have been enough. Sometimes, if you're on the board of a bank, looking at the numbers, reporting the numbers, I think that's more important than demanding a deep look at company culture. Maybe if you had focused on a deep look at reporting the numbers, SVB would be in a better position than it is right now. She said, discuss this at the board level and hold management teams accountable for real change. I think everyone's going to be held accountable at some point. Maybe not, though. But if they should be held accountable for anything, it's not having to do with company culture. I think it has to do with the bank collapsing. Now we've got Garen K. Staglin, elected to SVB's board in 2012. He owns the Staglin Family Vineyard, a 61-acre certified organic property in Napa County. The 2019 Cabernet Sauvignon retails at about $300. Lovely. Sounds delish. The 78-year-old and his wife, Sherry, bought the estate in 1985. Less than 15 minutes away is the Napa Valley estate owned by, take a wild guess, the bon vivant and his beautiful wife, the Pelosis, of course. Staglin has donated to Pelosi, but reserved his biggest donations for national figures. He gave the Biden Victory Fund $10,000 in 2020. He sent $54,000 to Clinton's Hillary Victory Fund in 2016, on top of $25,000 the previous year. He backed Obama with $35,000 in 2011 and gave the DNC $10,000 last year.
I don't know how these straight-shooting, hard-hitting bankers failed. Beyond me.
There's more. There's also an Obama official in the mix. There's one banker out of all of these people. One banker. Because it's more than a bank. You know, it's more than just numbers and figures and reports. It's about inclusivity and diversity and equity and safe spaces. We'll get to all of this when we come back. It's 844-500-4242. Our friends at Eden Pure are bringing back the BOGO deal on the Thunderstorm. Everybody loves the Thunderstorm, and everybody loves it for different reasons. I love the Thunderstorm to get smells out of my kitchen after we cook. I also really like to use it in my bedroom to keep that dry desert air out of the way. Keeps everything fresh, even when you got the windows closed on a day like today. Some people use it in their car. Jared, what have you been using your Thunderstorm for?
I've been using it in my basement recently to keep everything fresh down there. That's where I have the comic book room, so I can't afford any musty smells or any dampness or anything to get into the paper, because then everything is worthless. So what I do is I use the Eden Pure Thunderstorm because it actually purifies the air. It doesn't just cover up smells or anything like that. It actually ionizes the air, which eliminates smells. It can eliminate allergens and pollutants or even some viruses, just nasty stuff you don't want to be breathing.
Yeah, and so many listeners have made multiple purchases since they bought the first of these powerful air purifiers. But skip that. Skip buying one, and then in a couple months you want another one. Get the BOGO deal. That's buy one, get one. Take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer today before it expires on Sunday. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code GRACE. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code GRACE. Shipping is free. When we come back, I've got one more heavy hitter from the board of the Silicon Valley Bank. It's an amazing thing that with a team like this, I would say this is a team of Avengers. I would say this is a team of the best and the brightest. And yet, here we are. I have no idea how we got here. I have no idea how this happened. But I'll tell you this, I'm focused on staying focused. We'll be right back.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
We played a cut earlier of Joe Biden in this Comedy Central interview where he said that a family tradition that the Bidens have is that if anyone calls for a family meeting, they take it very seriously. They sit around the kitchen table. And this seemed to tickle the fancy of a lot of our listeners who are now coming up with ideas of other things that they could talk about around that kitchen table. You know, what warrants a family meeting? What story? Oh, Hunter's having a love child with a stripper. Does that warrant a family meeting? Another video has come out of Hunter filming himself having sex. Does that warrant a family meeting? Joe Biden was being led around by the Easter Bunny and we're concerned. Does that warrant a family meeting? Joe Biden tripped up the stairs again. Family meeting. 617 says, Marianne, can you go to the sunroom? We need to have a family meeting in the kitchen.
Meat yeah. conglomerates.
Get out of here, Marianne. We don't want to hear you. You're not coming to this family meeting and talking about the price of meat, okay, and bringing us all down. We got serious stuff to discuss, like how Hunter Biden's girlfriend slash Beau's widow dropped a gun across the street from a high school. We'll worry about the hamburger meat tomorrow. Damn it, Marianne. Get out of here. These family meetings, though, they must be something to see. Today's poll question is brought to you.
Company Christmas parties, apparently.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $149.99 a night on weekdays and $179.99 a night on weekends. Or you can schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at NausetBeachInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question? And what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is how much cash do you keep in your house? Over 500, over 5,000, over 50,000, or none?
None.
48% now say none. 36% say they have over 500. 14% say they have over 5,000. And now down to 2% who say they have over 50,000.
Well, we're reading about a story from the New York Post about the board of directors at the Silicon Valley Bank. And you know what? It makes sense. It's all starting to make sense. The puzzle pieces are coming together. I wonder if stories like these are the kind of stories that Senator Mark Kelly was hoping we could censor from social media. Nobody needs to know that nobody on the board except for one person actually knew anything about banking. We wouldn't want people to figure that out. No, we got to keep this offline. Well, I was reading about how people, a lot of these donors were, or a lot of these board members were major Democrat donors, and they were given tons of money to the Hillary Clinton Victory Fund. And again, the texters on fire today. 617 says, what happens to the Victory Fund if there is no victory? I think it just gets rolled over into Hillary Clinton's next attempt at a victory. The Victory Part 3, this time's the Charm Fund. But I read through a couple people.
And saying, look at me. Listen to me.
My personal favorite was Busy Burr, who said it's not enough to just report the numbers. Instead, we need to demand a deep look at company culture. And as I pointed out, I think that maybe if Miss Burr had kept busy with looking at the numbers, that might have actually been helpful to the company.
I'm beginning to wonder if you understand anything.
You are aware that Penske is interested in me.
And of course, there is the fact that one of these women was so bummed out when Hillary Clinton lost that she actually went to a shrine in Japan. But there's one more person here I want to talk about, and that would be Mary J. Miller. The 67-year-old was Obama's undersecretary for domestic finance at the Treasury Department from 2012 to 2014. In her role, she implemented the Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation that set the regulatory framework in which SVB operates, meaning she would have had expert insight into the thinking of regulators dealing with the now-shuttered bank. Her own attempt at a political career ended in disaster in 2020. I don't remember this, but I bet Howie does. A longtime Baltimore resident, Miller ran to become the Charm City mayor in 2020, but finished third after a race row. A PAC working on Miller's behalf sent an explosive email to potential donors saying her campaign strategy was to target white voters, which would leave the two African-American candidates to split the city's majority black vote and clear her a path to victory.
Racism.
She, of course, said that this had nothing to do with her. She said, this is not who I am. But just one more update, because we are going to move on from SVB, but I had to tell you all this. The New York Post reports, actually, I think this is Reuters, says SVB collapse reportedly being probed by the Justice Department and the SEC. So if anyone at the Silicon Valley Bank was worried, I think it's safe to say you're all going to be fine. Because if you're being probed by the DOJ or the SEC, you're in the clear. Unless there's like an 11th member of this board who's a 45-year-old pro-life father of six or something. In which case, lawyer up, people, because the DOJ is coming for you. Otherwise, though, I think it's safe to say you're all in the clear. Go back to donating to failed politicians and visiting shrines. We'll be right back with more. It's Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so Governor of Florida Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, they were both in Iowa last week. And then came Donald Trump today. I think he was there yesterday. And so a lot of footage, a lot of videos coming out from Trump's speech. He is reviving his attacks on Ron DeSantis. Let's play a little bit of cut 26. This is Trump in Iowa. This is cut 26.
But you have to remember, Ron was a disciple of Paul Ryan, who is a rhino loser who currently is destroying Fox and would constantly vote against entitlements. He would just vote against. Remember that? The wheelchair over the cliffs, the Democrats used it. The wheelchair over the cliff commercial, very effective. That was about him. But Ryan, Paul Ryan's a big reason that Mitt Romney, I'm not a big fan of Mitt Romney, lost his election. And to be honest with you, Ron reminds me a lot of Mitt Romney. So I don't think you're going to be doing so well here, but we're going to find out. But those are the facts. But I'm proud to say the final numbers just came out, and the primary elections, 98.6% of the people that I endorsed in the elections, in the primaries, won.
Ugh. I just wish sometimes he would go, like, I was thinking about it over the weekend. He goes to East Palestine, obviously, for a totally different set of circumstances, and he doesn't get into, you know, name-calling. And I know that's who he is. I know he's not going to change. But for just once, he went somewhere and he focused on the issues and he talked to the American people, and there was such a positive response. There was such enthusiasm for it. I was on here being like, I love seeing Trump like this. This is the old Trump. This is when he's at his best. And then he goes to Iowa, and rather than just talk about his own accomplishments or talk about what's happening with the Biden administration, where there's so much he could focus on, he's very, very concerned about Ron DeSantis. And forget the fact that I don't see that much truth in what he's saying about Ron DeSantis. Like, I'm not fully convinced that Ron is some sort of globalist rhino waiting in the wings. I know, for the people on the Rumble Cam, I know you're convinced, so don't freak out. I know that, okay? I've read. I see the chats. I see what's going on. But I'm just not so sure about that. But even if that is true, this hyper-focus on Ron DeSantis, I don't think makes Trump look stronger. It makes him look like he's very nervous about Ron. In fact, he doesn't seem to focus on Nikki Haley, and the way I take that is he's not threatened by Nikki Haley. So when you see him getting so worked up and so arrogant about his own credentials versus Ron DeSantis, and then he starts praising Charlie Crist, and he starts praising Rick Scott, which is fine. I like Rick Scott, okay? But there's just something about it. And I'm telling you, if he could just stick to the issues, he gets a really good response. People like it. But he can't help himself. And there's going to be a lot more of this. And I have a feeling we're already starting to see DeSantis is not going to take much more of this sitting down. Once he announces, I think the mudslinging has really, really begun. 844-500-4242. Cue all the people saying, yeah, I'm very disloyal. You have no loyalty. You're a traitor. I'm just calling balls and strikes. Okay? I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys and say, oh, I think this is great. I think he should do more of this. Call him Ron DeSanctimonious. That really plays. I think it comes off dumb. And it looks it looks silly. But next time he does something good, I'll come on here and say it looks good. But if I were on his team, I would say, just focus on the Democrats and focus on the issues. That's what people want to hear about. I know that there's a group of MAGA people who love whatever Trump's going to say. And so if it's going to hit DeSantis, they're going to love it. They're going to cheer him on. It's red meat. But there's a lot of other people who'd rather him go after the people in power right now and rather hear him go after Joe Biden and Dr. Fauci and all of these other bureaucrat hacks who are ruining the country. 844-500-4242. Okay, so something else I wanted to discuss here. It was a little slip up by Joe Biden. He didn't mean to say this, but he cannot, since we're talking about people who cannot help themselves, Biden was at an event, okay? He was at a Democratic Party fundraiser in California. And he was, oh, and by the way, if anyone wants to call in about that, if I just said anything that really gets you mad or that you really, really agree with, either way, it's 844-500-4242. I know sometimes when I go down that road, tends to light up the phone lines, and we welcome that. So Biden's at this event, and he starts talking about Jimmy Carter, who entered hospice care on February 19th. And according to reports, Biden told the audience, according to The Hill, Biden told the audience, which was like 40 guests, this is what he said. He asked me to do his eulogy before catching himself and adding, excuse me, I shouldn't say that. This man sucks so much. I cannot even describe it. Like the fact that the narcissism that you go somewhere and someone's in hospice and you have to make, this is almost, it's a skill at this point of Joe Biden's. Joe Biden, you know how they say, oh, he's the bride at every wedding. You know, he's the baby at every baptism. Joe Biden has managed to make someone else being in hospice about himself. I mean, that's a real feat. That is something you don't see every day. He's in hospice and Joe Biden's talking
about... How's an old guy do that?
Joe Biden's talking about how he asked me to do his eulogy. Any other humble brags you want to throw in about a man who's dying? It's narcissism. That's the only way I can describe it. He said, I spent time with Jimmy Carter and it's finally caught up with him, but they found a way to keep him going for a lot longer than they anticipated because they found a breakthrough. Oh, because by the way, he was also bragging about his cancer moonshot initiative. He'll use the mother who lost her sons to fentanyl as a vehicle to attack Marjorie Taylor Greene. He'll use Jimmy Carter in hospice as a vehicle to brag about himself, his initiatives, and how he's going to do the eulogy. He will use anyone for any purpose at any time.
These are facts. Check them out.
844-500-4242. We got people on the lines here. Let's go to Lori. You're next up. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi, Grace. This is Lori from Abington.
Hey, Lori.
I definitely agree with you. I'm a big Trump fan, have been my whole, since he's been around. Still have stickers on my car, so I'm not good. But I do not like when he puts DeSantis down. I think they're on the same team, and I really wish he'd stop it. What I was hoping for was him to get back in first, and then DeSantis maybe go in when he goes out. That would be my dream of running the United States. So
yeah,
I just wanted to tell you that I agree with you.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate it. And I think a lot of people have that same mindset. You know what's interesting is we had Vivek, I'm sorry, I think he pronounces it Vivek, but I'm saying Vivek, so I'm not sure which one's right, but Vivek Ramaswamy was on the show yesterday, and he's running for president, and someone texted in, and they said to me, why is Vivek running? Why isn't he throwing his support behind Donald Trump? He could wait and run later. And I just thought, what are people talking about? What is this? It's the United States of America. If you think you can win the presidency... And there's a lot of people out there going, he can't. Fine. But if he thinks he can, then guess what? He can run for president. He doesn't have to wait. He doesn't have to sit on the sidelines and like bow down to Donald Trump. I don't know when we got to this point that people have this idea in their head that, you know, it's loyalty. Every time these men call up the show, I love you guys and I'm not trying to poke fun, but you call up the show and you yell at me about it's loyalty, have a little loyalty. Like we're in eighth grade or something. We're on the schoolyard in eighth grade and I'm betraying an old friend. I want to win elections. Maybe it's Trump. Maybe when I see them on the debate stage, I come in here and I say, you know what? I want to win and I think Trump's the guy to win. I think he crushed Ron DeSantis in the debates. But until then, I'm not going to sit here and say whatever people want me to say because it makes them feel good that I'm being loyal enough to MAGA. And when it came to Vivek, like, the guy calls in, he's great. I'm not saying he's going to win, but he's good. He has good ideas. He deserves a shot like everybody else. And I get these texts, why isn't he being loyal to Trump? You got to get out of this bubble, because what are we going to do after? Let's say Trump wins, great. We need somebody after Trump. There's going to come a point where even if he wins, there's going to have to be a next generation, a next candidate. And if every person who ever dares to go up against Trump because they're strong enough candidates to do it, we're going to look at and say, globalist rhino, you're disloyal to Trump. We're going to be left with nobody. And we are not in a position. There's so many weak Republicans out there. When you see Republicans who are strong and who have a backbone and who are smart, even if you say that's not my person, I'm still going to go with Trump. This whole attempt at demonizing anyone who steps into the ring and wants to be a contender, it's beyond not productive. It's immature. 844-500-4242. Eddie, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Eddie.
Okay, Grace, time for a little debate. Now, you just cherry-picked 45 seconds out of an hour and 45-minute speech, okay? So that reminds me of, like, the mainstream media. He talked about Biden. He talked about all the problems. He talked about what he did and what he's going to do. Hour and 45 minutes, he spent 45 seconds on DeSantis, okay? And DeSantis did vote with Paul Ryan to cut Social Security and Medicare, okay? So, you know, the facts are what they are, and it's, you know, presidential politics isn't, being bad. Okay? It's going to get rough.
Yeah, I just said it's going to get rough. And I think DeSantis is probably going to get rough, too. I just don't think that going after fellow Republicans, I just don't think it's a smart move when you don't have to.
Well,
when you've got people who...
45 seconds, Grace.
I got more. Do you want me to play more, Eddie? I just was trying to see how much people could stomach. Do you want me to play some more? I got Trump... praising Charlie Crist and Rick Scott while attacking DeSantis. Would you like to hear that?
What, yesterday?
Yeah, let's play it. Cut 24.
For those of you that didn't notice, Florida was doing great long before Ron DeSantis got there. People are fleeing from New York to Florida and other places because of high taxes and out-of-control crime. It's really bad. Not because of the governor. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing that. But it's not because of the governor. Florida was doing fantastically. You had a governor named Rick Scott who did a very good job. Even Charlie Crist, Democrat, did a good job, and he had very good numbers. Sunshine and ocean are very alluring. It's not too hard to work with those factors. So just remember, Florida was doing really well long before Ron DeSantis got there.
That was from a video he put out yesterday. Eddie, are you there? Jack, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, Grace, how are you doing today?
Good, what's going on?
Listen, this Trump, I voted for him twice, but I was so upset with him toward the end of the second term, just because he is supremely unlikable to so many people. The problem is, a lot of what we all know, what he had to say, was accurate. He had a chance to be more presidential, and he just continues to not learn how to be more presidential. And that's why people who might have supported him the first time around just couldn't bring themselves to vote for him a second time around. I get it. So many policies, so many structures that he had in place were solid, but he is just so unlikable, and that's his biggest challenge, in my opinion.
Thanks for the call, Jack. I see, this is where it's tough for me, because I actually find him very likable when there's moments where he is, you know, signing things and telling people put that on eBay, or, you know, giving out McDonald's and saying, I know the menu better than anybody. I've always found Trump to be extremely likable. It's one of the weird things that I can't really reconcile with Democrats, is that I see such a different person than they see. My issue now, and it's really not even about Trump, it's about this knee-jerk reaction that if you say anything remotely critical about Trump, that you are somehow betraying this religion, or like you're betraying your people, and it's unacceptable. I follow politics for a living. I'm going to look at it critically. I'm going to have a point of view. And I think a lot of people in this country feel that way. And I think we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot if we don't allow these midterms to play out. I'm sorry, these midterms, these primaries to play out, and let people decide who's the best contender, who's the strongest candidate. The cream rises. We'll see. Maybe it is still Trump. I'll be the first one on here telling you I was wrong. It's still Trump. Sorry, DeSantis. You don't have a good grasp on foreign policy. You don't know enough about the issues beyond Florida. But can we at least wait and see? The guy hasn't even declared yet. People are already saying he's been pushing old people off the cliff. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley lives her life by a strict set of rules.
Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face. And that's it!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
We have a lot of people on the lines. This always tends to happen when we talk Trump versus DeSantis. Let's go to John, you're first up. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Grace.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, we don't have the time, Grace. We can't beat Trump up. We don't have the time. You talked about 4 years. What happens after that? You won't see 4 years after that, I'm sorry to say. Nor will I or anyone else.
Who's beating Trump up, though, John? Who's beating Trump up?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we beat Trump up and say DeSantis and this and that, the liberal media shows have DeSantis on. And they will never have Trump on. So he's getting his word out there and his likability. They'd like nothing more than to have DeSantis come on to beat Trump.
No, I would disagree with that. Ali Velshi today had a guest on talking about how what's happening in Florida with these gender-affirming healthcare is just like what happened in Germany. We had Cindy Lapper saying that. Plenty of people on these news programs have DeSantis derangement syndrome. I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm just having a discussion, and that's not even, for a lot of people who are pro-Trump right now, that's not allowed. It's not allowed. You have to literally fall in line. That's not what this country is all about. It's about debating each other and figuring out what we want to do. It's about winning this, but it's not about keeping my mouth shut because we don't have time. Jim, you're up next on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim, really quick.
It's Kim.
Oh, sorry, Kim. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, I was in agreement with a lot of your callers. I've always loved Trump. I loved everything he did for our country. But listening to him spew out vile stuff about DeSantis, it's like the same old, same old. My stomach got sick. I'm like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. Like, he is just so unpresidential the way he speaks. I love him, but I don't want to listen to him.
I think there's going to be some people who feel like that and some people who still want the fighter. We will wait and see. But I'll tell you guys how I feel about it every step of the way. When we come back, we're going to talk to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, and we'll take all your calls for him. So don't go anywhere.